It's Great Mondays Radio. I'm Josh Levine, your host, founder of Great Mondays. We help executives from hypergrowth technology and social enterprise organizations build cultures that attract, engage, and retain top talent. If you'd like to be a guest on our program, hang out for about 20 minutes and I'll tell you how. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Great Mondays Radio. We have had a number of guests recently talking about the strengths and weaknesses, the challenges of being a leader inside of an organization. And today, I asked certified business and executive coach Rob Wise on to talk about how to identify your saboteurs and the power of the shadow side of leadership. And I think this is really compelling, this idea that we should, at least at first, understand that we all have these pieces and how do we identify and even overcome them. So without further ado, Rob Wise, thank you for coming on and making us smarter about leadership and all of the difficulties that come with being a human.
Thanks, Josh. I'm glad to be here and share some of my darkness here on the show, and hopefully others can identify and feel like, okay, I'm not alone.
Yeah. Well, if you're watching on YouTube, you should head over to Great Mondays to check out YouTube. But Rob is a very upstanding, friendly faced guy. So he's talking, he's going to share some of his darker sides. But I think the point being that we all have that. So Rob, you have a pretty deep experience in this realm of like leadership coaching. And that's all well and good, but what I found particularly compelling about your expertise is your focus on the idea of a person's saboteur. So why don't you define what are we talking about when we're talking about a saboteur or the shadow side of being a human, but in this context, leaders?
Yeah, I think the best way for me to explain a saboteur is really understanding that it's something about my thinking, and that translates into actions and habits that's been cultivated over my whole life. And it could be from an event that happened, a traumatic event sometimes, could be just the way I was raised, could be a multiple set of circumstances. And a saboteur tends to be the thing that creates a barrier, right? It's rooted in fight or flight in our primitive brains. And what happens is that's where we go when we're stressed, we're tired, unsure, when we're kind of operating out of fear. So I like to look at these through the lens of when am I not at my best? And I'm going to give you a little anecdote that will be entertaining to my wife. So we like to camp. We're big campers, primitive camping. And where I go when we go camping in my mind is survivalist. Like I'm in it and I'm getting things done. And my wife has to go, hey buddy, we're just camping with the kids. Can you slow down and explain what you want me to do? And so for me, that's my controlling nature, and I'm trying to manage everything. And I'm very much in that survival mode. So I have to really consciously go, all right, let me take a step back. Let me teach the kids, my wife, what I would like and communicate. And then we can have an enjoyable camping trip. But I have to catch that controlling part of my personality.
Right. I mean, it's a situation. So the camping, I think, is interesting because it's a situation where you're all in and you're like, we have to do this, we have to do that. And that's kind of your tendency. And so that, I think, if we can extrapolate that to systems at work, right, where there's just moments where, and I really appreciate you calling it out, that it's kind of our primitive brain. So the saboteurs lie in wait for when our forebrain, I don't know if I'm getting this right, our frontal lobe, right? Is tired or gives up or is overwhelmed. And so then your deeper traumas show up because you move from, you move down Maslow's hierarchy.
Yes.
Right? Like exactly. I think that's what's happening, or at least that's what happens when I get tired.
Absolutely. And the funny thing is it's any perceived threat. So if I were to put my hand on a hot stove, my reaction would be to pull my hand away.
Yep.
But in our minds, when we're confronted with an email that's jarring or feels a little abrasive, we go to the same place mentally, but we keep our hand on the stove. So it's real hard to pull your brain off of that when it's something that's abstract, when it's not tactical. So that's really what happens. And so what I look at with saboteurs is, okay, recognize when that's happening, and then how do we move out of that? And okay. One of the big...
Let me stop you there. What does it mean? How do I recognize... recognize when what is happening? Are we talking about that? Like, when I think, recognize when I'm feeling threatened, fight or flight, I'm getting a physical response, right? Fight, flight, freeze. Is that what you mean? Like heart rate raises perspires? That's the recognize when it happens. You're like, I just got this email, that fucker, or whatever it is, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Okay.
Or again, like I already said this, you know, so there's that immediate defensiveness that comes across. And there's the first saboteur that everybody has is the judge. We all have judgment first. We're judging what we just encountered, and we're making judgments about that person and about that situation, and a lot of times also about ourselves. So that's where one of the things that I like to focus on is, okay, let's catch the judge. Let's catch the judge. Let's recognize when it's happening. And that's a big step for a lot of us, that especially as we've gotten older and gotten more successful and maybe relied on that, relied on our saboteurs to get us where we are.
Yeah.
But it could be creating chaos for other people.
So it's really interesting. So the first most likely saboteur to show up is going to be the judge, but it's almost like that judge, I know, like, okay, if I'm threatened, I'm going to judge other people, and that makes sense. But we're doing that judging all the time, even if my heart rate isn't raised. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So that person, that saboteur is showing up. Why is that saboteur showing up? Well, I mean, so why would you even call it a saboteur, right? Like, that's right. How I got where I'm going. So let's talk a little bit more about judging people, judging situations that are just happening day to day.
Yeah, I think the biggest change is the word discernment. Am I discerning or am I judging? Judging starts to provide value to the situation. So if I start to get down on myself because I've forgotten to do something, because I've missed a meeting, and I judge myself and I go, you know, it's one more thing. I'm disappointed in myself, or I'm disappointed in my colleague because they just keep the same behavior. I've applied a value to that. Discernment is a little bit different, where that can actually help us and make good decisions. But discernment also requires a good bit of relaxation and calm to be able to think through, okay, what's really going on here that I need to be looking at? So there's a little bit more time and a little bit more pulling apart. Judge tends to be more immediate, and it's a good thing. Like, I want to say that saboteurs are not evil, inherently evil, because they've allowed us to survive, and they keep us from situations that maybe would be damaging or threatening, especially in our, you know, primal existence. And I saw a text that was, or a meme that was, you know, a caveman saying, you know, pardon me while I process your text. I'm still trying to figure this out with my, you know, primeval mind and this new technology. So,
right.
So that's still there. And then as we go down, so the judge kind of starts the behavior.
Okay.
And if I can catch it and go, okay, I'm feeling this way, let me reread this email, see where this person's coming from. Then I move to a place of empathy. Okay. So I'm going to try to see things from their perspective, why they wrote what they wrote, when they wrote it, how they wrote it. And then I can start to ask some questions. Okay. And maybe it's, I need to pick up the phone and say, hey, I got your email. Can you talk to me a little bit more about kind of the underlying gist of what you're getting at with that email?
Yeah.
What also can happen if we don't catch that judge is we move into usually another saboteur. So that can be like controller. I'm going to control this situation. I'm going to respond back to this email. I'm going to respond back to this person, and I'm going to tell them, and I'm going to control the situation, which tends to be more confrontational and abrasive. I mean, how many times do we learn, read your emails before you send them, or don't fill out the to before you've reread your email and thought about it. Maybe you need to sleep on it for a day.
Yeah.
But we go into those other saboteurs that are protective, that are creating boundaries. Another one, and I'll tell it myself again, is restless. So restless is tends to be somebody who has constant need for busyness, rarely at peace with what they're doing right now, spread too thin. They suffer with follow through. That can also be somebody on the, if they're recognizing that and they recognize the strength that it is, it can be open, curious, and spontaneous. Like, I'm great at getting something activated. It's starting a new initiative. Mm-hmm. I'm excited about it, where that's the strength of the restless. But when I'm stressed, I start to look for other things to do. Okay, this is hard. So what's fun? What's something that's interesting? What's a new project I can get my teeth into?
Yeah. Or even just flip over to email, because it's easier to just respond to, right? It's lower energy. You kind of move to a lower energy state.
Yeah.
That's interesting. What are some other saboteurs that are commonly experienced?
So there's avoider, and I'll do them kind of alphabetically. Avoider tends to procrastinate. They avoid difficult or unpleasant tasks and conflicts. I did controller. Hyperachiever tends to be a narrow focus on achievement to the detriment of relationships, balance, or perspective. So if I'm always going after the next thing, the next position, the next degree, the next pedagogy, that would be some, or award, that would be something that would be synonymous with the hyperachiever. Hyperrational, excessive reliance on rational function and dealing with people and emotions. So explaining, hurting relationships by not being empathetic or considering that somebody else has emotions. Hypervigilant would be too anxious, always expecting the worst. So worried about too many things rather than focused on the things that truly matter. A pleaser, constantly helping, pleasing, or rescuing, hoping to be liked.
Yeah, over here.
That's me. I have a little bit of that too.
That's me. Well, let me, maybe we'll get to the rest of the list. But I want to connect it back to something that you said, which is these saboteurs, these states aren't necessarily evil, you said.
Right.
Aren't necessarily bad. And so let's talk a little bit about kind of, go a little bit further. You kind of touched on it, but like the kind of the shadow and maybe the light side, and how step one, right? That was the first thing we talked about judging, where you're just like, hang on, discernment, take a breath. So there's a way to first become aware of these things, but how do we assess our saboteurs and then how do we convert them to be something that we can take advantage of? Or can we? I'm reading between the lines. I'm kind of leading you here, but definitely tell me if I'm going too far. I'm assuming that that's the case.
That is absolutely the case. And so we really look at the sage thinking. So when you think of a sage, you think of somebody who's calm, who's got wisdom, life experience, enough that nothing seems to really faze them. You know, when you think about almost like a Buddhist monk, where this chaos can happen around them and they're absolutely calm, or any monastic practice, any meditative practice where somebody's really practiced in it, they just seem unfettered in any situation. And so it's really about perspective. So when I look at things from a judgment perspective and I say, this is bad, you know, I don't like this. I don't like this. You know, we're using an email example. This is bad, like the way that they did this or what they're saying, it's not correct. If I were to stop and go, okay, I read the email, I'm triggered a little bit, I think it's bad, let me take a pause. How do I see this as a gift? What in this situation is giving me something that I need right now? And that could be that I need patience and I need to think through something, or that person has something very important to say and they're so passionate about it for whatever reason, maybe they've been dismissed before, or maybe they have their own judgment about themselves that they feel the need to be this forward with this email.
Yeah.
How do I see this as a gift? And the answer to both of those is whatever I believe is the truth. So if I believe that this is bad, I will continue to go down that road in that saboteur thinking. But if I say, this could be a gift, let me explore how this could be a gift, which takes an enormous amount of energy, especially when we're first starting out. Once we've kind of rewired neural pathways,
yeah,
this becomes habitual.
It can be easier, but it starts hard.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the flip from critique to curious, criticize to curious. Mm-hmm. This idea of discernment, I think it does kind of create some space. And so maybe what I'm taking away from this is, before I do anything, regardless of if I encounter myself acting in a bad way, in a negative way, or my heart rate goes up, or some sort of trigger is happening, I just need to create space. And in your sort of sage, right? Like if you're thinking, imagining a sage, right? It's like, just take a moment, a breath, and don't respond.
Right.
And what I find, don't like engage, like just take a say, you can always come back to hypervigilance. You can always come back to busyness. And to me, where I feel that we live as a society, especially today, is the compression and mm-hmm. stress of time stress.
Yes.
And so for me, I find myself firing off emails that should have, you know, laid fallow for maybe another 24 hours.
Yeah.
Right. I just want to get it done.
Yeah.
And so here is this moment of, how do we allow for just even for a moment, all the chaos around the sage, around the monk, to exist? We don't have to engage with it all the time. It's always going to be there.
Right.
Is what I would advise myself, right? If my sage self were advising myself.
It's waiting for us.
It'll be there. It's waiting. And so just take a breath. Like it's going to be all right. And then you have some space and maybe a little bit of distance to then go, oh, I see what's happening here. And then you can kind of engage. And I think after that, to me, this is sort of a moment. And then regardless of what, or then whatever saboteur it is, then you can kind of go in that direction and sort of look at how to convert that.
Yeah.
How does that sound?
That's 100%. And what the research says is that in order to make that shift, that we have to have something tactical, that human beings are physical. You know, we need to touch and feel things. So I don't work well with, I'm just going to take a deep breath, because I'll take a deep breath and then jump right back in.
Okay, good.
So what I have to do is do something physical. So one of the things that I love to do that was suggested is I take my fingers and I just rub the tips of my fingers together and I focus on feeling and seeing, you know, sometimes with my eyes closed, the pads of my fingers and then the ridges that make up my fingerprints. And I do this a lot in when I'm presenting, especially at the beginning of a topic or an area, or even with a team that's got conflict going on. I said, let's just take a moment. We're going to take 2 minutes. This is non-religious. This is just a physical practice to recenter ourselves. And I'll do it, and I'll keep my eyes open, and I'll not even a minute, and I'll watch everybody's shoulders and the energy in the room just relax. And people, you can see, they open their eyes and they're like, oh, you know, they just, because they don't take that time. But that physical action actually stops that fight or flight. And now I have a choice. Now I can say, let me empathize a little bit before I do anything. Mm. And then let me explore. And maybe exploring is with that person.
Yeah.
Maybe the exploration is on my part going, okay, what do I think that they meant? What's the context here? What do I know about this person to be true? And how can I now navigate with them, or maybe there's an action that we need to take, but we need to take that together.
Yeah.
Or maybe my action is simply to respond, thank you so much for your perspective. Let me think about this.
Yeah.
And I can ask for that. That's something I actually have an assistant who is really good at going, you know what? I need to process that. Let me talk to you tomorrow. And I asked her one time, I was like, so when you're telling me that, are you upset? And she goes, yeah, I'm livid. And I'm just going to process what you asked me to do. And I'm going to come back to you with my thoughts on it, and I'll be calm about it. And then I realized that that was also a gift to me, because then I could think about, okay, I need to approach this differently. Yeah. I need to be less controlling about this situation and let her have autonomy.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really compelling. You're right. It's like, it's so easy to just be like, all right, took a breath. Let's get back to it. Mm-hmm. I really try, like, if there is some sort, like, to know which emails, and this is particularly with emails, is like, I can send off or not, you know, and it's like, okay, it'll be here tomorrow. Like, do not, you know, and it's like my fingers sweating over the button to send it. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's sort of that moment. So is that what we're talking about? Is the shadow side of leadership, is that are we in the same vein, or is that a different concept? Because you also mentioned the sort of the power of the shadow side in leadership. Are we talking about the same thing, or is that a different concept?
I think it's related. I see the shadow side as being able to look behind the curtain on myself. So the places I don't necessarily want to look, the things I don't want to admit, the willingness to say, okay, I'm successful, right? Could I be better? How do other people feel around me? How am I treating other people? And I can see my actions reflected in how excited they are about what they're doing. Do they have ownership? Do they feel like Rob has trusted me with this and I'm going to do a great job because he trusts me and he believes in me and we have a great relationship. And I know that if I'm not on the right track, he's going to let me know. If I have questions or I feel like he hasn't been clear, I'm going to let him know. You've got this great synergy going. Mm-hmm. So if I don't have that, this is just my measure. If I don't have that feeling and relationship with my colleagues, especially my direct reports, then I know I'm not operating in a sage mode, that they may be a little defensive, a little cautious. Mm-hmm. They're not asking questions because they might feel like, I ask questions, he's just going to tell me what he wants. And then we're, you know, I'm just going to do what he wants instead of offering a new and better solution that I came up with.
So in the last episode that we just released, the conversation centered around allowing, like, if the other person is reacting in a certain way or coming at you, the kind of mantra that I had was, or that we talked about, this is with Jade Wood, and I was talking to her, and we were like, okay, just the mantra is, this is not about you, it's about them. They're mm-hmm. coming at you with something. Here, I hear you saying their response and actions. You should think about how you are impacting that. Mm-hmm. How do I know the difference between the two? Because you're expressing the exact opposite of the kind of the takeaway that I had from this amazing conversation, which I believe is true, but I also think what you're saying is true. How do I know the difference? When is it my fault and when is it someone else's fault, to be glib about it?
I would say that's the judge, right? Because I'm looking for whose fault it is rather than how do we play together.
Uh-huh.
And it could be, and I've run into this before, where I've reacted to somebody's emotional state of urgency.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, okay, let me do that. And then I had to learn to go, wait a minute, this really, like, objectively is not that big a deal, but they feel like it's a big deal. And that's about them. Where the sage comes in for me is not dismissing that and saying, that's about them, I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing, but rather go, okay, why are they feeling so triggered about this? And I tried this the first time I kind of recognized this, and I went to that person and I said, hey, I saw you were really on fire about this. Can you tell me more about, you know, why that this is so important for you? Not that it's not to me. I don't understand your perspective. And she said, yeah, this is like the fifth time this has happened and I'm just over it. And this person's not listening. And so there was some backstory there and it was about her, but now I could say, how can I navigate this with you? And, you know, once I remained calm and explored with her, then she was able to kind of get to the same place. And then she went, well, I guess it's not that big a deal. And so that was kind of a cool thing that happened because I was resentful that she would do this on a regular basis. And I had to go, I don't want to be resentful towards her. She's smart. She knows what she's doing, but her reaction is making me distant. So in that case, yeah, it is about her. So how can I now navigate that with her so I can understand better and that we can both get to a better place? And as a leader, I believe that's part of my job is to not just take it at face value, but go, there's something else here that would be helpful for me to understand outside of the operational logistical thing that we're talking about, but really the person part. And then maybe I can do something with that person, with my colleague, to make it easier. And so we did, and we created a different flow for how this process was going. And man, she came to me the next year and she was like, it's a lot easier this year, you know, since we talked and we went through this process. And it like, you could see her just like, yeah, this is actually easy now. It was always something that was really hard because the process wasn't right. But if I hadn't taken the time to do that, then it would have been harder for both of us and continued to be.
I guess the commonality between this thinking like your comments, your mean comments are about, you know, you and not me versus how do I, you know, what is my role in this? The reaction regardless is I kind of think of don't allow the situation to get its hooks in you.
Yeah.
And you are not going to come from a place of reaction. You're going to come from a place of discernment and you're going to take a deep breath and you're going to sit on it and respond and inquire with curiosity.
Yeah.
And if you have, I think you can try to build trust and inquire about, if you come at it, you can say, tell me about this, right? Like, what role do I have here? Is this something that I can help with? Is this something I can change? Is this something that I'm doing? Yeah. And that way, you know, they're able to articulate and have that space. And I think that's going to be the kind of theme across those.
Absolutely. Somebody told me a long time ago, you are your brother's keeper. And that really weighed on me. And I tried to figure that out. Like, what does that mean? It means that whatever relationship we have, I own half of the responsibility for that relationship and holding that relationship and seeing this other person as a human being who's deserving of love and respect and compassion, regardless of maybe how they're behaving in the moment.
Yeah.
Same with me. I mean, that's what I hope I get back is, you know, when I'm triggered, you know, that my colleagues, my wife, my kids, they go, you know, hey dad, it's okay. Let's talk about it. Or, you know, Rob, you seem really upset. How can we help you?
Yeah.
So I think there's that human compassion piece that's really important to me in my personal life and my work life, that I remain, as calm as possible and see that other person's value as hard as it can be sometimes. It can be very difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Well, we started thinking about ourselves and now we're thinking about others, but I guess that's the kind of cycle of leaders that we're always sort of in this shared space, right? It's almost, it's always about the kind of both of us. And that's really, really interesting. Rob Wise, certified business and executive coach, thinking about emotional intelligence, executive acumen. You can learn more about Rob at robwise.focalpointcoaching.com. Thanks for coming on Great Mondays Radio and teaching us a little bit about saboteurs and shadows. Very enlightening. Really appreciate your insight here, man.
Thank you, Josh. It's a pleasure to be here. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to Great Mondays Radio. Hey, if you want to be a guest, head over to radio.greatmondays.com. And if you think this episode was interesting and your friends and fans would enjoy it, please share on social media. And if you want to get more people to understand the power of company culture in business today, please rate and review Great Mondays Radio on your podcast feed. It really helps us reach more people. If you want to hear more candid conversations with culture leaders, subscribe to Great Mondays Radio. I'd love to connect with you. Find me on LinkedIn at AKA Josh Levine, on YouTube at Great Mondays. And you can always email me, josh@greatmondays.com. Find out more about our work with hypergrowth technology and social enterprise organizations at greatmondays.com. I'm Josh Levine. Thanks for listening to Great Mondays Radio.